So when we have a humble heart, we could ask and beg for mercy, and Jesus transforms our hearts with this mercy. Welcome back to the What's the Dill podcast. I'm your host, Pete Dill. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about baptism, the solar eclipse, and why Divine Mercy Sunday is so important. Okay, so getting started, little miracle baby from a few episodes ago, she got baptized this past weekend, and it was wonderful. It was actually really beautiful to share the sacrament of baptism with family, with friends, and I want to talk about one key moment that stuck out to me in baptizing my daughter. Again, all of you, maybe a lot of you have experienced, you're probably baptized, or you've been to a baptism. But something that stuck out to me this past baptism of my daughter was so special was this one line that the deacon who did the baptism of her daughter, who was actually Tanya's uncle, he said such a great line, which was, baptism gives you the front door into salvation. The back door is heaven, and baptism gives you the front door. So what a special gift for parents to give baptism, the free gift of baptism, as a way to salvation, as a way to heaven. And, you know, I never really thought of it like that. You know, I think sometimes baptism, like for me, you know, you can think about the party half the time, you think about the food, the catering, who's coming, how to do this. You know, it's the first sacrament we make as Catholics. But it really struck me this past baptism, my daughter, of how special baptism actually is. It wipes away our original sin and gives us the door to salvation. So it's like kind of like, it's kind of incredible. And that, you know, and everyone's like, yeah, we're proud of you. You did it. I was like, yeah, listen, I didn't do much. You know, I thought, oh, you know, I was assuming we were going to do this. But as I reflected on it later, this gift that we gave to our daughter and our son of baptism is so incredibly special. It's their ticket. It's an open door to salvation. And I never really thought of it like that. I kind of just thought of it as like the first of many sacraments, the first thing you have to do for us to be a Christian, but as this like salvific thing that we do for our kids, that our parents did for us, that you did for yourself if you've converted into the church. And I thought that was special. And I don't know if that strikes you in any way. I don't know if you're hearing this and you're like, oh, yeah, I already knew that, Pete. Or if you feel like that's not pretty cool. But I never really like put the pieces together that when we do this for our kids or when we've got it done for us, that baptism is like this front door into heaven. The back door is heaven. The party's going on in the back door. And you get in through the front door. You get in through baptism, which I thought was awesome. So it was a super special time to celebrate with family, with friends, and then to see our little miracle baby get baptized. She was perfect, even though the water was cold. She didn't flinch when it went on her forehead. So that was really special. And then a couple days later was the solar eclipse. The solar eclipse that took America by storm. You all had those little glasses. You were all staring up at the sky. I know you were. I know you had those glasses. Even if you thought they were still silly, you had those glasses. And so did I. I had the glasses. I was looking up. I had really good glasses. I had the glasses that you can't see anything but the sun. So I was over here. I'm trying to look. I was like, whoa, I put on these glasses. I'm trying to look around. I couldn't see anything. Finally, I had to locate the sun. I was like, all right, back. I'm looking up, I think. Those glasses are insane. How does it block out everything but the sun? I've never experienced something like that. But the solar eclipse is pretty cool. You know, I don't know what you think. I was actually in the totality of it down here in Texas. Central Texas had totality for a few minutes. And, you know, it was cloudy, but it was still very cool to see, you know, the day basically go from like sunny or, you know, kind of bright out and then 1 minute, basically pitch black. Like you could still see in front of you, but it was pitch black. I'll upload a video right here of, this video shows the video I took of the eclipse. And, you know, for those that are just listening, you know, it's basically just pitch black for, you know, 10 seconds, but it was about 3 minutes of total darkness. So I thought it was pretty cool. And I think that it's one of those things that you don't really think about as like connected to God. You don't really think about as like, you know, we don't really know why these eclipses happened. You know what I mean? Like they've been happening for years. And, you know, I guess it's in the Bible when Jesus died, that eclipse happened. In other cultures, they have eclipse happen. We don't really know why, but I think it's still pretty cool to see that like God it has these kind of like fun things for us that in his creation, even in so super far out cosmological planets and suns, there's still like cool things for us to experience. Just like an eclipse happens and we get to see total darkness and what is light. You know, I don't really know the point of eclipses. I don't, maybe you do. If you do, let me know. But I probably won't experience another total eclipse again. I think there's another one coming through America in like 20 years or something, but, probably my first and only eclipse, I would have to think. So it was cool to experience. I was glad to share it with family and see, you know, be there with, you know, Tanya and see. It was like, yeah, like, it's kind of like a once in a lifetime experience. But yeah, I don't know what y'all think. I don't know if you saw it, if you saw a partial full. If you did, let me know what you guys thought of it. If you thought it was cool or not, but I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was worth the hype to kind of see the total darkness. It got really cool all of a sudden. And then it was really quiet. And then boom, just like darkness. Like, whoa, it was kind of insane. So I bought into the hype of the eclipse. And then moving in to the meat of our podcast here, wanted to talk about what also happened this weekend. A lot happened this weekend. Baptism, eclipse, and then Divine Mercy Sunday. So in our Catholic Church, Divine Mercy Sunday is the Sunday after Easter. And a quick recap of what it is. Divine Mercy Sunday is the celebration of Jesus's mercy. And it's come about through the revelation that Jesus had to Sister Faustina, a Polish nun. And she wrote about it in her diaries where Jesus was coming to her in private revelation. And she wrote it all down. And, you know, it's been celebrated that Jesus appeared to her and in this form of mercy, divine mercy. And in church, this line stuck out to me that I think why this is so important and why I think for guys, divine mercy is so important to really embrace. Jesus said to Sister Faustina, "Something that bothers me, that saddens me, is that souls and hearts don't trust in my goodness. Souls and hearts do not trust in my divine goodness." And that's why divine mercy is so important, because in a world where we treat each other like humans, Jesus wants to treat us like the divine. You know, in a world where we seek earthly justice and say, hey, you know, if you treat me wrong, I'm going to, you know, all bets off for what I can do to you. If you treat someone wrong, you're going to get canceled. If you do something that I don't think is right, we're going to seek justice right now. Justice is king. But divine mercy says that actually mercy is closer to the divine than like human justice. And that Jesus wants to spill his mercy onto us. And we have to fall into it. And that how sad is it that we do not think that Jesus is good. Like we don't trust in his goodness. That just like struck me so hard in my heart that like, Jesus said to Sister Faustina, "It saddens me that souls do not believe in my goodness." You know, I think a lot of times we reflect, we look at God, we project onto God how others treat us. You know, we look at God as a father, or Jesus as God, and we think about like authority figures in our life, you know, teachers or, you know, mentors or parents or school counselors or camp counselors or coaches. And since we're human, we treat each other like humans. And that's flawed. And that's in anger and in retribution and vengeance and goodness. But it's human. We treat each other with our human flaws. And so I think a lot of times when we think about how Jesus treats us, then we project onto a lot of humanity onto Jesus. But he's not, like, he's divine. Jesus obviously does have a human form, but he is divine. He's God. So if I treat you wrong, your initial reaction is probably going to be like this, dude, you're going to want to naturally inflict some sort of justice onto me, right? We all have that human flaw. But Jesus, when we treat him wrong with our sin, he wants to pour mercy out onto us. He wants us to tap into that mercy. He wants us to overflow in that mercy. Why is that so important? Because when we sin and sin and sin against God and sin against others, we recluse into shame. We kind of recoil into being ashamed of our sin, and we get hard on ourselves, and we harden our hearts, and we get angry at ourselves for sinning and for being bad. And then we say, well, you know what? I'm not worthy of Jesus' love, or I'm not worthy of friends or family's love. You know, like, I've just messed up so bad. How could anyone forgive me? And then we go off on our own. You know, we sin so much, then we just compound interest, more sin and more shame and more guilt and more sin and more shame and more guilt. And we have a hard time reaching out and asking for forgiveness and receiving mercy. But that's why divine mercy is so important, because for us to truly continue to enter in to following God, we need a lot of mercy because we sin a lot. And again, I know you guys. I know some of you. You guys sin. You sin. I know you. I'll give you a list of sins if you want. I'll send them to you. But I sin too. I sin, and it kind of blows my mind how much I can sin sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, I do want to bash my head against the wall sometimes for my sin. You know, big sin, little sin. It's just like every day I'm sinning. Why? Why can't I just have one good day of no sin? I've almost gotten there a couple times. But then I started thinking about it. I started patting myself on the shoulder. I was like, oh gosh, I think I'm being a little too prideful right now. But we sin, so we need mercy because we need to keep going. We need to get back up. We need to keep following God. And we need divine mercy. We need to trust that Jesus is forgiving us, trust that Jesus is leading us, and to dive into that mercy so we can keep going. Because mercy gives us the mercy makes us be humble. When we ask for mercy, it requires us to be humble. And when we're humble, we don't act so self-sufficient. And being self-sufficient is a recipe for falling on your face and not following God. Because when we think we're self-sufficient, we don't need to pray as much. We don't need to treat others as well as much. We don't need to follow God as closely because we got this. I got this when I'm self-sufficient. But we know we don't got this. That's something I've learned deeply. It's like, I can only control so much, and life has a funny way of just throwing a freaking rock on my head and be like, wow, I actually don't have this life in control as much I thought as I did. I don't have my emotions in control. I don't have my spirituality. I don't have my impulses. I don't have my faith life as much in control as I thought I did. So when we have a humble heart, we can ask and beg for mercy, and Jesus transforms our hearts with this mercy. And then we can keep following him deeper and deeper and deeper into conversion, deeper and deeper into what he wants for our life. And let's also remember that we receive this mercy so we can keep becoming like Christ, and it is divine. It's not a mercy that we can give to ourselves. But this mercy is something we can also tap into, need to tap into, to give to others. Because, man, it's easy to want to give justice. Man, it is so easy to want to point out the flaws of others and give justice. But divine mercy also bashes us over the head with this idea of like, hey, you need to forgive people around you. You need to forgive those who've wronged you. You need to forgive those people in your life who you think maybe don't even deserve forgiveness. Because remember, Jesus is forgiving you. He is pouring out his heart in divine mercy to you. So we need to do that to others, even when it's hard, even when we think justice is needed, mercy is probably needed more, you know? So it's like this perfect recipe. Divine mercy is this perfect recipe for receiving to help change us better, to make us better, change our hearts. And then also some action steps to do, to give mercy. Let's take that mercy and then to give mercy. And in a world where we are desperate to seek justice and retribution for those who've wronged us and those who we think are wrong, mercy is the ultimate countercultural thing to do. Forgiving our enemies is just like a lost art. We don't even think about it. Think about how divided everything and everyone is in this world. Forgiving your enemies? No. Don't forgive your enemies. Put the hammer down on your enemies. So you can get more power and you can be more secure and you can then get what's yours. And then our people in our life, friends and family, think of how many times you've been wronged by friends or family in your life. And we just think, well, yeah, I don't need to give mercy. Actually, you do. We are all called to give mercy to everyone in our lives, because justice is not really ours to give out. God's the ultimate judge, and he will give that judgment out one day, however, wherever, not really us to decide. What we're called to, as Christians, to be countercultural, is to give mercy to everyone. So, again, I think for guys, that's like not totally, that's not something that comes easy. I think as guys, sometimes we want to like lay the hammer down. Let's show justice is now, the men are here, justice will reign. But at a certain point, being merciful and showing others mercy is going to win a lot more hearts than seeking justice for every time you've been wronged or someone's been wronged. So, divine mercy is great to receive, to understand, to transform, and then to do in our everyday life. And it's hard. When you really think about it, I've been praying about it. It is so hard to give mercy, you know what I mean? For little things, for big things, it's hard. You can sweep it under the rug, you know? Sweeping things under the rug is a lot easier than giving mercy. But let's not do that. Let's not sweep things under the rug. Let's not let opportunities for mercy pass us by. Because when we are merciful, it's also, remember, close to how God is. It's close to the divine. When we show mercy, we're actually putting ourselves, elevating ourselves close to the divine. Divine mercy. So, I think it's super powerful. You know, I think, remember, you know, it's really important, I think, for guys to have the humility to ask and receive mercy to help transform our hearts. And then also for us to then give mercy and be the ones that are extending the hand of grace and mercy, because that's what Jesus does to us. And let's be real. We need to treat others like Jesus treats us. So, that's it for me today. I appreciate you all so much. Make sure you like, subscribe, share this podcast. Every time one of you texts me or calls me or comments or DMs me, it just makes my day incredible to hear from you. But I also love these continued discussions, you know, offline too. There's so many great discussions we can have. So always reach out to me. I appreciate you all so much. Hope you all have a great day and a great week. Talk to y'all soon. Peace. Bye.